Louisville, Rawlings, Under Armour, and Mizuno. Play local, buy local at First Team Sports. Come check us out at 2520 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
J. Grady Randolph is hiring. Specializing in flatbed hauling since 1935, JGR has deep roots in the Carolinas and proudly supports the Clemson Tigers. Start your new career today by calling 864-761-4041. J. Grady Randolph offers competitive pay and free family health care coverage. Local and regional positions available. Call 864-761-4041 or get more information online at driveforjgr.com. That's driveforjgr.com.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. People always complain you can't get in. Now's a perfect time to get in and join the show. 654-7627, 654-7627. You know what you want to talk about. You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure there's another culture in college football that compares to what's been built here at Clemson. But in their own way, Central Florida is building a little bit of a culture. Listen to this. And there's one more tweet here at the end. But upon learning of Brandon Wimbush's announcement that he's transferring to Central Florida, these tweets happened.
Uh-huh.
Gabe Davis, the number one wide receiver at Central Florida, tweeted his approval. Mac Tastic, who's Darrell Mack, who is the starting quarterback at Central Florida, wrote, "Yes, sir. Let's go to work."
Wow. No, I like that.
The starting quarterback. Really, right. The starting quarterback, the would-be starting quarterback at Central Florida, approving the move and applauding it and saying, "Yes, sir, let's go to work." The starting center welcomes him to the family. Mackenzie Milton, the injured quarterback, says, "Let's ride, brah." There's something special going on at Central Florida. There just is. You don't get that everywhere else. You don't. And then from a Notre Dame standpoint, even Ian Book, classy, said, "Yes, sir, best of luck." So Ian Book is the guy who beat out Wimbush for the job, and he's still wishing Brandon Wimbush well, wishing him luck. That's pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. All right. A couple things. Let's start with this. You have, Ramona, the Nick Saban, the piece that's about Nick Saban, right? The audio clip? The Gattis,
yes.
The Gattis clip?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it
did. All right. What you're about to hear is an excerpt from the Harbaugh's podcast. This Harbaugh's podcast is one of the strangest things. By the way, Texas says, "Well, why is it the UCF continues to be disrespected by the football world? What must they do?" I think it's because the football world is scared of them. I think they represent a danger. They're outside the norm. They're not something they want to deal with. And it flies in the face. Look, we've heard the last X number of years that, you know, many of these power leagues could essentially form mammoth leagues and drown out the lower levels of football. Well, you know, Central Florida's success sort of flies in the face of that notion. And, you know, so trust me, the Power Five leagues around the country, they want to keep Central Florida down. I mean, they don't want Central Florida messing with their situation, especially when they're only four berths. That may change at 8, might a little, maybe not. Josh Gattis, you want to understand the difference between Clemson and Alabama? I'm about to demonstrate the difference in absolute terms. Josh Gattis, I originally saw this story on Saturday Down South. Gattis was at Bama 1 year as the wide receiver coach. He came from Penn State. Gattis is a big deal. He's a really hot commodity. Everyone respects his coaching acumen, and he is a dominant recruiter. So he comes to Alabama for 1 year, and then his plan, as it turns out, was to leave Alabama with Locksley. At the last second, he gets a call from Jim Harbaugh, basically saying, you know, well, screw that. Come be my offensive coordinator at Michigan, which is obviously a major upgrade in opportunity, in finance, and all that. It's what everyone does this for. You know, it's not everyone in the coaching game wants the best situation for themselves. You have to. You have a loyalty to your players, team, et cetera. But you also have, most of these guys want to climb the ladder. They want to improve. They want a chance to improve their status. Well, he went from would-be wide receiver coach at Alabama, well, that's actually what he was, to whatever position he was going to hold with Mike Locksley at Maryland. And then last second, he gets a call from Michigan, and it's Jim Harbaugh, and saying, man, come be my offensive coordinator. And, you know, Michigan has had this sort of off-field rivalry with all things SEC, and I think Harbaugh with Saban in particular. In any case, Gattis can't turn that down. And I don't blame him for not turning that down. What you're about to hear is a little bit of Josh Gattis being interviewed by Jim and Jack Harbaugh as part of, what do they call it? They call it the...
Attack Each Day.
Yeah, Attack Each Day. This is the this is the Harbaugh podcast with Jim Harbaugh and his dad. Jim Harbaugh and his daddy do this podcast. I'm going to get to that element in a minute, but first I'm going to let you hear what Josh Gattis said. What's notable about what you're about to hear is Josh Gattis talks about speaking with Nick Saban on his decision.
When Coach Harbaugh called it, it kind of caught me off guard because I was literally, the funny thing about it, I had just left a meeting with Nick Saban, getting my butt chewed out for about 20 minutes, telling him that I was leaving and he was trying to keep me to stay. And so it did not go over well. So if there was any Band-Aid to the bruise or to what he left on me, it was that phone call. And it was exciting to hear his voice and to get a chance to talk to him personally.
That's the old adage, one door closes, another door opens.
That's it.
Talking to Josh Gattis, the new offensive coordinator for the Michigan football program here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
So what Gattis tells you is that he had basically gone into Saban to tell him, man, I'm leaving for Maryland. And Saban, like, lit him up. And what the article talked about and what it detailed and what Gattis details are, like, these legendary A-chewings that go on with Saban and all these other guys who coach for him.
And he went in to tell him he was leaving, and that's when he decided to chew him out because he was leaving.
Yeah, Saban chewed him out.
I guess he's glad now.
For over 20 minutes because he was leaving and was basically demanding that he stay.
oh, yeah, I'm going to stay after you chew me out for 20 minutes.
Right. And and remember, Saban, we've seen the stories about Saban intentionally embarrassing Kiffin in front of players on the field of play and those type of things. And you see all this coaching movement at Alabama every single year. This is the why. This is the why. It's because this 5'6" Napoleonic character is just a bully. And, you know, I was thinking about this today. You know, imagine this guy in school. He probably got his butt kicked every single day, you know, and so he grew up to take it out on everybody else, and that's how he handles himself. He handles himself that way with the media. He's not a funny guy. He's not a glib guy. He's not a polite guy. You know, he's the words I would have to say, I can only say on satellite radio. And this is just more example of it. I mean, what do you think it's like to work for this guy? I mean, it sounds like, by almost all accounts, it's terrible that he's beyond demanding. Now, listen, I will admit that, you know, players who played for guys like Vince Lombardi and Bill Parcells frequently hated those guys when they played for them. And then they realized at some point in their lives what those gentlemen did for them. But it's something that comes to them later. But in this case, we're talking about adults. We're talking about the way Saban treats adult coaches and what he thinks he can do and get away with. And I think that the Gattis thing, it almost sounds like it's starting to smack of desperation. Like Saban maybe feels something slipping here. You know, he got to witness the slippage during the national championship game firsthand. He saw it firsthand. How Clemson had passed his program by, at least in this snapshot of the moment. That's inarguable. It wasn't a close game. I've even seen people try and spin it as, well, it wasn't really 44-16. It could have been once. Oh, it could have been. Could have been. What is? You got blown off the field. Just save it. You know, here's the thing. You have to wonder about the way he treats his coaching staff. You know, that's not what goes on at Clemson. That is not what goes on at Clemson. Clemson really does have this family atmosphere. And look, I'm not telling you that Dabo Swinney doesn't raise his voice at other coaches at times. He does. I mean, these are competitive people. But the difference is that I think when Dabo Swinney yells at somebody, he also gives you that. There's no other way I could put this. That sort of salesman thing. Like I say something positive about you and I yell at you at the same time. You know what I mean? It's like I give you a little bit of both. Because I think what happens is, at Clemson, I think all these guys know that Dabo Swinney loves them. You know what? Even if they get yelled at, even if there's some disagreement, even if there's some barking back and forth, when that moment settles, they still love each other, and they know that. Whereas at Alabama, I don't think that exists. I think there's all sorts of clear evidence that does not exist. And I think that's why all these guys leave Alabama. I think that's why he is great. Certainly, if a guy has some coaching success at Alabama, there are going to be other people calling for them, just like there will be at Clemson. But there's something special about the nature of the community and the culture that Dabo Swinney has built at Clemson that keeps. Now, again, these guys are royally compensated, most of them, but, you know, guys at Alabama are royally compensated. They're just choosing to leave left and right. And a lot of them are making, I wouldn't even call them lateral moves. You know, I would call them, in some cases, downward moves. But, you know, look, in this particular case, Josh Gattis, well, listen, first, Josh Gattis went from Alabama to Maryland. That was the plan. Well, that's not a lateral move. I don't know what the finance involved would have been, but you would think Alabama could have matched anything that Maryland could have done. applied another title if necessary. You would think. I think what happens is these guys go and coach under Saban for a year or 2 years, and I think they want out. I think they're already exploring other opportunities. Now, again, if that's just work-related, if that's just Saban is a taskmaster and he works harder than everybody else, then that's on you. Then that says something about you, not him. But if it's this constant, you know, beat down, this constant at people for reasons that are only clear to Saban, then there's something flawed there. And I think the Gattis thing sounds like the Kiffin thing. It sounds like this is who he thinks he is. It sounds like he thinks he can can bully people. Well, guess what? Then that's happening all the time. You know, the Alabama players laughed about how Saban used to mistreat Kiffin in front of them. I'm sorry. First of all, from a Kiffin standpoint, he never should have stood for that for a day. He should have just punched him in the face. And he never should have stood for that for a day. But from a Saban standpoint, that's just flat, disrespectful, discourteous, unnecessary. Furthermore, why would you want to diminish one of your coaches in the eyes of your players? From a common sense standpoint, why would you want to diminish who they are, their standing, their respect level? Why would you do that? That's a self-inflicted wound. I can promise you, Dabo Sweeney would never do that. He would never do that. And I think that's fundamentally why coaches stay at Clemson and why coaches repeatedly leave Alabama. But this is the first sort of insight we got. This is Gattis, you know, going to meet with Saban and saying he got his A chewed out for 20 minutes. And basically he was just thrilled when Harbaugh's call came in. Walter Ptula Road Rage, quick break. We'll be right back.
Four Paws American Pub congratulates the Clemson Tigers on winning another national championship. Since Four Paws opened last summer, the Tigers have been perfect on the field, and we both have plans for a great future. Four Paws has added even more house-made local features, like new country fried pork chops and chicken. Get together with friends to enjoy craft beer and great food while watching sports on our big screen TVs. Make tracks to Four Paws, located on Highway 93 in front of the Courtyard Marriott in Clemson. Go Tigers!
I'm Kristen Bennett. The professionals at Bennett Equipment rent and sell link belt excavators at three upstate locations, Greenville, Spartanburg, and now in Seneca. Link belt equipment sets the industry standard for performance and reliability. Bennett also rents, sells, and services many other types of construction equipment with the service you expect and deserve. Call today, 864-277-7272, or visit us at BennettEquipment.net. And remember, if you need to rent it from Bennett.
New year, new carpets. Get your 2019 started off right with Zero Res because they clean with powered water. No soap, no residue, no harsh chemicals. Right now, get three rooms of carpet plus free hallway cleaned and sanitized for only $109 when you mention my name, Mickey Plowler. Book now by calling 558-7300 or visit ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean. And don't forget to ask about their air duct cleaning special.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And don't miss the best Sunday brunch you'll find anywhere. Every Sunday from 11 to 2:30, the finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
It's time for the 2018 year-end closeout sale at Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla. Over 100 new and certified pre-owned vehicles in stock, plus 45 years of location experience. If they don't have it, they can find it. The Edwards family was recently voted Oconee's best new and used dealer for 2018 for the eighth year in a row. Remember, no dealer fees, and ask about the low price guarantee. Get in on all the year-end savings at Edwards Auto Sales on Blue Ridge Drive in Walhalla.
Warm up your cold winter days with hot deals during Aaron's Winter Warm-Up. Yes, hot deals on living rooms, TVs, and even washers and dryers with no credit needed and free delivery and setup. Plus, this hot offer from January 11th to the 15th. Just $1 gets you started leasing to own and then no payments until February 15th. Start with just $1 at participating stores or Aaron's.com and enjoy Aaron's Winter Warm-Up now while the deals are still hot. Transaction advertised as a rental purchase agreement. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
You have to be up in 5 hours. 2 hours. 6 minutes, and you haven't slept a wink. ZzzQuil Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. So tonight, try new ZzzQuil Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Vicks ZzzQuil.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
Well, a hero's work is never done.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
I can take the pitchfork from the devil. Keep a super suit like I'm incredible.
Blue sea to the dark blue sky. Walter Tully, Red Rage, Red WCCP, 105.5 The Roar, Big Mac'd up here on the show. We have lots to get to. Again, thanks to our buddy Craig. Before we get going, let me tell you about George Coleman Ford. You know, Ramona, just out of curiosity, where you live, like 90 years ago, didn't even exist, right? There was nothing. Like,
oh, there's no doubt of that.
There's like nothing there.
I imagine that.
Have you ever seen any photos of like Seneca or something proper? Or not what it looked like 90 years ago?
No.
I saw some of Anderson, and you just wouldn't believe it. I mean, you know, you think about these things or you don't think about them until you actually see the photos and you realize, you know, what things looked like at that time period. 90 years ago, George Coleman Ford went into business. And 90 years later, they are still selling cars and trucks to new generations of your family members. I mean, it's almost unthinkable that somebody in that business could survive and thrive for 90 years. And I'm quite confident another 90 years from now, you know, Harold Coleman will be selling, Harold Coleman the Seventh will be selling vehicles to future members of your family because they just do it right. I mean, yeah, it starts with the steel. It starts with the vehicles. It starts with the fact that vehicles do truly cost less there. You know, you check out their specials on a weekly basis. It's insanity what they do. It starts with the fact there are never any dealer fees or service fees. That's special. That matters. That matters to me personally. That's the thing that would matter to me. But it's more than that. It's the other things that really separate George Coleman Ford. It's the fact that they know your name when you come in, that they know who you are. It's the fact that their service manager, Kurt Shockley, has been there 23 years and his wife has taught first grade in that community 33 years. These are the things you can't get elsewhere. That's what makes George Coleman Ford truly unique. So go see him today. Tell him I sent you. I promise you will thank me later. Let me get to Seminole Ted, and then I want to address something that Joshua asked me on Twitter. Jeremy asked, well, how big a drop-off should we expect from Clemson's D in 2019? Yeah, we'll address that too. Thank you, Jeremy. That's a good question. Seminole Ted. Ted, how are you?
You know, doing good. Disappointed in how that game turned out Saturday. Just unexcusable to leave a man wide open beyond the arc to win the game like that at a buzzer beater. Still a good game, though, but I am just so over Duke Vitale and his love fest with the greatest team of all time. They can't even throw free throw baskets. And I'm sorry, they're not the greatest team, and you saw that last night getting beat by Syracuse. Oh, I'm just so sick of the love affair with this Duke team.
Vital is worse than ever. I mean, he's absolutely insufferable. I mean, he was moaning and groaning during the whole. I mean, it's just he's like a human sound effect machine now. He's an absolute embarrassment when it comes to all things Duke. And it was impossible to watch that game. I found it impossible to watch that game with the volume on. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't agree with you more. Where do you see we're 3-4 games in, depending on which team you're dealing with. How do you see Florida State shaking out? Are they going to make top 4 in the ACC this season? I think they got a good shot at that.
Yeah, obviously you're off to a rough start from a wins and loss standpoint, but there's a long way to go. And look, a lot can change. I mean, Duke without Jones, they could lose 4 or 5 games. I mean, they haven't lost for the last time. They're going to lose again. I mean, they may lose.
Oh, yeah. They got one or two losses coming to Virginia at least.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think Virginia is better than them, period. I don't care whether they have – I don't care if they have all the Joneses. I think Virginia is just better than them. So there's that.
No, I agree with you.
You know, they're still a freshman team to me. But, yeah, I think they, you know, without Trey Jones, it changes who they are. And so they're going to lose more games. So their ultimate standing in the league is very much in question right now. I mean, they could easily wind up a 5-loss type of basketball team now in league. I think that's probably what's going to happen.
The one thing I couldn't understand that Leonard Hamilton got away from early in the second half, they were throwing that lob dunk to Cabangeli and Kamaji with great effectiveness, and they got away from it. It wasn't the Duke changed anything to defend it. They just quit doing it. They went back to trying for threes. I think they got to take those 7-footers and use that advantage. I mean, if they're going to give you that open look dunk, take it all day long.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, the length bothers Duke. I mean, the Syracuse's length the other night really bothered Duke. I mean, that was a big factor in the game. It wasn't just that Duke lost a couple guys. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, anyone who watched the Duke Syracuse game knows what crime took place. I mean, the officiating in that game was reprehensible, just downright disgusting.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's all I got, Walt.
Thank
you. Have a good day.
Yeah, you know, let me touch on that for a second before I move to some of these other things. The two best basketball, the two most important players, let me change that. The two most important basketball players at Duke the last 5 years, two things, two guys. Tyus Jones, Trey Jones. Those are unquestionably the two most important players at Duke the last 5 years. And the reason is because Duke's point guard play forever has sucked other than these two guys. I mean, Duke's point guard play has been a series of overrated 5-star tomato cans other than these two guys. And people celebrated all these other players. You know, when they won the title with Tyus Jones, they celebrated that baseline. They celebrated all these other guys. By far, the most important player on that Duke National Championship team was Tyus Jones. And by far, the most important player on this one is Trey Jones. Now, don't confuse it, because I'm not talking about best players. The two most talented players are RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson. Easily. They're the most talented players. But Duke doesn't have any other point guard play. And they desperately need that guy on court to have any direction to their offense. Otherwise, they stand around the perimeter and they fire up 3-pointers. And so those two guys have been the most important players. Now, Kyrie Irving goes back farther. And again, Kyrie Irving was injured and missed his last year and then came back and played in the tournament and was hideous. And Duke got destroyed by Arizona. Tyus Jones led Duke to a national championship. If Duke's going to win a national championship this year, it's going to be Trey Jones that leads him to it. Even in that Gonzaga game early in the year that Duke lost, the guy who showed the heart and the toughness and the character in the last 5 minutes was Trey Jones. But the biggest issue as to why he's most important is there's not a replacement for him. When Zion Williamson went out the other day, Reddish came in and played his best game of the year. So he had the talent to step up and fill the void. It's just there's only one basketball. You can only have so many stars. And when Zion's there, he's not going to be that guy. But when Zion wasn't there in the void, he filled that absence well. But there's nobody to become Trey Jones. And so the two most important players in the last 5 years in Duke basketball are clearly Tyus Jones and Trey Jones. And without Trey Jones, Duke's not winning anything. That team's not a threat to win anything. That team's a threat to lose in round one of the tournament. Mark my words. You can RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson may be the greatest things ever, but if they're just going to stand there and heave up 30-foot jump shots, trust me, everyone will be okay with that. You take Trey Jones out of that mix, and that offense breaks down. They don't run their offense anymore. They're standing around watching each other. And so he's an essential ingredient to who and what Duke is. And without him, they're going to struggle. You know, I don't know how long he's going to be out. We'll see. I don't think that's a given right now. But I could see them losing 5 league games now. I don't think there'd be any factor in the top 10. I think they'll lose multiple times. I mean, Virginia's going to beat them twice. They'll probably lose at Pitt. I mean, they're going to lose other games. They don't have a replacement part for Trey Jones, just as they didn't have a replacement part for Tyus Williams. No, Austin Rivers was a ball hog scrub. No one cared what Austin Rivers did. These two guys make the offense run. They're pure point guards. Tyus Jones was absolutely the key figure in Duke's last national championship. And if they're going to win one this year, Trey Jones is going to be the key figure. Oh, everyone will talk about Barrett and Williamson, and they'll get all the highlights. But anyone who knows basketball will know that the motor, the guy who makes it run, the guy they can't replace, is Trey Jones. Here's the thing. You could put Trey Jones on the court with one of those other two guys, you're still fine. Because you have Reddish. You have Reddish to step in and fill that void. I mean, quite honestly, if I'm ranking the players they can least afford to lose, one is Trey Jones, two is RJ Barrett, and three is Zion Williamson. And it's because Reddish can give you some of what Zion Williamson gives you. He's not going to give you the dunks. He's not going to give you that element. He's not going to give you that emotional element. But he can give you the length, the size, athleticism, the ability to shoot the ball. And Duke would still be okay. They would still be okay. But that's a dilemma. Now, that Duke-Syracuse game, some of Duke's issues were exposed even with that. Whether Trey Jones played or didn't play, some of Duke's issues were exposed. What you saw was, once again, a team with great length posed Duke problems. Syracuse has length. Florida State had length. Those two teams really bothered Duke. Duke won one of them, lost one of them. So you can already sort of figure moving forward which type of teams from a physical makeup are going to pose Duke some issues. They're going to struggle some with teams with great length. That's just, do you think Tennessee would beat Duke in a neutral site game right now? Ball by double figures. I think Tennessee would pound Duke right now. I mean, listen, I think Tennessee would beat Duke even with Trey Jones. So there's that. I just think Tennessee's a team of men. An actual team of men, not that, you know, Mercer team of men that Mike Krzyzewski talked about. I think Tennessee would beat Duke even with Trey Jones. But without Trey Jones, Duke has no chance. I mean, none. Tennessee would clobber Duke. And so when I think about, and just going back to the game for a second, if you watch the Duke-Syracuse game, this is how bad it was, Ramona. For the first time in my memory, Dukie Homer, Jay Billis, who tries to play it straight, for the first time in my memory, I think Jay Bilas was actually embarrassed at the calls.
You think?
He was voicing that notion. You could hear it. It wasn't just in what he said. It was in how he said it. There was an element of disgust to the way he said it. I think what we saw, like in the last 10 minutes of that game, I mean, there's one time that Syracuse has a fast break and there's a Duke defender trying to cut off the break. And they actually called it a charge. It was one of the most absurd calls, embarrassing calls ever. And then late in the game, you had the Zion Williamson call where no one touched him and they sent him to the line with 29 seconds left. And you could tell, you could hear it in Bilas' voice that he knew watching these calls that he was going to have to personally face the ramifications of it. In other words, he was going to hear about it from a million people, how Duke always gets these calls in that building. And he knew in watching it that that's exactly what was happening. I mean, you could see it. Anyone could see it. But, you know, I've heard Bilas do games for forever now. That is the first time that I ever remember. And people, if you watched it, call, write me, tell me you saw what I'm talking about. You could hear it in what he said and the tone of what he said, that he was actually embarrassed about the nature of those calls. And quite honestly, anyone with mind wide open, eyes wide open, ears wide open would have been. The officiating in Duke's favor against Syracuse was completely, outrageously, over the top, ridiculous, pathetic. And Bilas knew it. Walt Tiptula Road Rage, quick break.
This Wednesday, the Tigers play their second consecutive game in Little John as they take on their rivals from Atlanta when the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets come to town. Pre-game is at 8:30 with a 9 p.m. first tip right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch every basketball game this season from first tip to last buzzer right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Fried chicken just like Mama makes. Seafood platters and fresh fried oysters. Not to mention our famous lizard dinner. No kidding. Who serves up all this deliciousness? The Chicken Basket. 226-3242, Highway 24 in Anderson.
Hello, this is John LaHoop, Executive Director of Clemson Downs. We are proud of the Clemson Tigers for winning the national championship the second time in 3 years. The Tigers are also the first 15-0 team in modern history. Fantastic finish to a perfect season. Clemson Downs is the only continuing care retirement community in the Clemson area. For more information, please visit ClemsonDowns.com or call 654-1155. We join Tiger fans worldwide in congratulating Dabo, his staff, and his team on this monumental achievement. Go Tigers!
In the center of it all lies a crown jewel of Anderson, the Anderson Sports and Entertainment Center. Adventure awaits at the KidVenture Playground. There's 64 acres for sports, including 7 ball fields, 3 soccer fields, 8 tennis courts, and miles of hiking paths. A 10,000-seat amphitheater and the county's largest ballroom and seating for up to 3,200 spectators. Hosting a private event? Look no further than the Anderson Sports and Entertainment Center. In the center of it all, go to AndersonEvents.com.
Electric City Signs and Neon, over 50 years of sign design, fabrication, installation, and maintenance in the upstate, specializing in neon, plastic, flex face, channel letter, and LED message signs. Electric City Signs is ready to serve you with the highest level of satisfaction. Have questions? No problem. Their experienced team will see your project through inception to installation. Professional sign services at the best price. It's got to be Electric City Signs and Neon. Visit electriccitysigns.com or call 225-5351 today. Go Tigers!
Does your home have wall cracks, uneven floors, or doors and windows that are sticking? These are all signs that a foundation problem is stealing value from your home. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 475-1671. We know your home is your number one investment, and we can help protect it. Don't wait for a foundation problem to get worse. If you have sagging floors or cracks in your sheetrock, call Campy Foundation Specialist, 475-1671, or visit us at campyfoundationsc.com.
Westminster Vision is now opening a third location on Highway 28 in Pendleton next to State Farm Insurance. This new office will offer even more state-of-the-art medical eye care along with the professional one-on-one eyeglass service we are so proud of. There's a large selection of frames as well as all types of contact lenses, including specialty and custom designs. We'd like to thank our patients and customers who have made this possible. Come by and see us or call 654-4141 for an appointment.
A new year means great new opportunities to save big at George Coleman Ford and Traveler's Rest, like a 2018 F-150 XLT with four-wheel drive and heated seats, $13,000 off MSRP at just $37,960. Are you kidding me? That's why we always say, trucks cost less than Traveler's Rest. Get to George Coleman Ford and save big on this F-150 XLT right now. Trust me, you'll thank me later.
Everyone qualified. Offer good through February 28th, 2019.
No one's better than Walt Deptula. Just ask him. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
Oh, that's hilarious. You should be on TV.
Now, back to Walt and Ramona.
Tulu Road Rage, we are WCCP 105.5 The Roar. You know, this little interesting exchange Ramona had with Texter 346. And you know, and his initial point is fair, but I hope he finds my answer fair. He wrote me, he said, you know, well, I hate Duke also, but your Duke bias is making you look. And I wrote, well, facts, not bias. And he said, but you never, never, never cry about officiating. That's fair. That's a fair comment. Because that, look, that's the way I do things here. My belief is generally that when you get a bad call against you, a bad call or two against you in a game, that that's the way it is. The human element. It's part of the game. Deal with it. Suck it up, Cookie. You know, your players made 50 mistakes for every mistake the officials made. You know, your coach has made 100 mistakes for every mistake the officials made. It's just the human element. It's part of the game. I'm an adult, so I don't spend time worrying about that. I think most great teams overcome bad calls. You know, it's just the way it works. That's why I'm still essentially opposed to replay. I just think replay doesn't work. I think it's a nice concept, but I think it fundamentally fails way too often. Plus, it's fatally flawed conceptually, and I've explained this before. I don't want to get into that. But I answered back, and I said, true, but when Billis is embarrassed over it, it's gone too far. I think there's a difference between an unintentional bad call or two and a systematic fail or a systematic effort to promote one team. And I think in the ACC with Duke, that's what you have. I'm sorry, I just do. I just think that's the way it is. And so to me, that's different. Your point, Texas 346, 100% fair. Your point is 100% fair. That is the way I do business here. You do not hear me whine and cry about officiating, even if it's somebody I'm rooting for. I handle it the exact same way. It's just part of the game. But when I say that, I'm talking about a situation where, you know, an official or multiple officials unintentionally blow a call or two. I'm not talking about what looks like a systematic design to enhance one school versus another. And I think when a Duke homer like Jay Billis, when you can hear the embarrassment in his voice over the calls that are going in Duke's favor when he's broadcasting a Duke game, I think it clearly shows that something is wrong. And that happened. I promise you that happened. Go watch the last 10 minutes of the game from the point where Duke is, from the point where Syracuse is called for the offensive foul in transition. Find that point, and I don't remember the exact point, but the last 10 minutes of the game or so, and listen to the number of bad calls that are made against against Syracuse, and listen to Billis's sort of increasing level of, at the very least, discomfort with the calls he's seeing. You can hear it. Listen, if you don't want to go that far, go to the last 30 seconds. Go to the Zion Williamson call that put him at the line and listen to what Billis initially says and then what he winds up saying. And listen to how he says it. And you'll see that even a Duke guy feels a level of discomfort with what he's seeing on the court. And that's not good. That's not good. And thank you, Ben. I appreciate the kind words. But 3-4-6, absolutely fair to raise that point. You know, I hope you found my answer satisfactory. Because quite honestly, I would call me out on that too. I think that's perfectly fair. But I think that's the distinction. It's that when I'm seeing happen at Cameron, you know, Ramona, how many years have I said, I don't know how I came up with this. It's like this formula in my head, watching Duke all these years under Mike Krzyzewski at home. I have come up with this notion that if you don't outscore Duke by 12 in that building, you can't win.
Yes.
You can't
win.
I've
said that many times.
Right. And I came up with that number. It's not a computer formula. It's what my eyes told me. It's like in watching the myriad of games that I've watched in that building, it always seemed like it came out to about 12. That to win there, you have to outscore them by 12 because you're going to get a 12-point disadvantage as the officials cave into the pressure of that environment. Either cave in or, I mean, I don't want to go beyond that because to go beyond it suggests it's an initiative. I don't know what you want to call it. I don't know if you want to call it a caving in, an initiative. An initiative implies black helicopters, conspiracy, league office decisions. All I know is that forever under Mike Krzyzewski, the officiating in that building has been hideous in favor of Duke. Danny Ainge went there 1 year. And he went to scout a Duke player. Luol Deng, maybe. I'm not 100% sure. I don't recall. I'm thinking it might have been Luol Deng. And actually, that sort of seems to make sense. And when he came away from the game, he was interviewed. And maybe it was halftime. And he was interviewed about what he thought about, you know, what he was saying in the scouting, and he basically said, and this is not verbatim, but he basically said, it's cheating. He said, I've never seen anything like it. He said, it's the most absurd thing I've ever seen, that these officials cave to this environment and that the road team has no chance at all. I mean, Danny Ainge said that. He didn't have a dog in the fight. He was neither a fan of Duke, nor was he opposed to Duke, nor was he anti-Duke. He was actually there to scout a Duke player. And that was his neutral opinion upon sitting there and watching the game. I defy anybody to watch the last 10 minutes of that Syracuse game and tell me that game was fairly officiated. It's not a mistake. See, that's the problem. It's not a mistake or two. If it was a mistake or two, fine. Then it fits my normal operating guideline. But what you're seeing is systemic. What you're seeing is something far worse than a mistake or two. What you're seeing is looking at something that is either by design or it's officials who simply cannot handle the pressure of officiating in that environment. I would like to think it's the latter. Because if it's by design, then you have an even bigger problem. Call it whatever you want. When the Duke Homer announcer is embarrassed at the calls that are being made in favor of his own team, then you know there's something wrong. And again, I promise you, if you go watch that, you'll see that. See, this is right. Texter 980. Here's what he says, Ramona. The refs even look like they want to make the right call, but the energy and environment doesn't allow them to. See, that's what I see.
See it on the screen.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I see. And that's what Danny Ainge saw. And that was many years ago now. And nothing's changed. I think it's gotten worse. But that's exactly right. It's that you can see, you know, I could not have put that better. You can see these guys sort of poised to do the right thing. And it's almost like they're afraid. It's almost like they're afraid of having the wrath of Krzyzewski and the wrath of that fan base. Make no mistake about it. They intimidate officials. That's inarguable. It is at very least that. You want to get in? 654-7627. Dave in Seneca. Dave, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing, Walt?
Good. Appreciate you getting in, Dave.
Yeah, so there are a couple of things about some of the calls last night that I thought echoed your points a little bit. One, Syracuse had gotten a turnover, was coming down on a fast break. The Duke guy was set up to take the charge, and the second Duke guy basically diverted him to where he had nowhere to go, and all he could really do was run into the Duke guy, where the first contact was by the Duke guy running even with him. So to me, it was a foul there, but it got called a charge. So, you know, another one of those Duke calls that they always get.
Yes, and 100%. Then, that's 100% right. And that was the first time I think you heard the embarrassment in Billis's voice.
Yeah. And then there was a foul called against Duke, and Krzyzewski went nuts. And Mike Eads was standing right next to Coach K and telling him, stop it, don't make a scene about this or something. I was like, why don't you, if it was Brownell, he would have teed him up.
Right.
Yep.
You know, years and years ago, Mike Krzyzewski protested against Dean Smith doing the exact same thing. He hated it. He protested against Dean Smith's intimidation of officials, the North Carolina intimidation of officials, and now he has become what he protested against all those years, except by a hundredfold. I mean, he's 100 times worse than Dean Smith ever was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're all over it, Dave. That's 100% right. Thank you, Dave.
All right, take care.
You know, and people are asking me, well, you know, one texter says Coach K has always tried to intimidate officials. Right. And someone else asks, is it more the environment or is it more Coach K? It's both. It's both. I mean, Coach K has an army of blue and white rubber basketball hat-wearing nutcases who sit there and scream at the opponents right on top of them all game long. I mean, that's an enormous factor. I mean, they are right on top of the court. And make no mistake about it, it is Krzyzewski's army. And they turn all this venom on the officials. And the officials are human beings. And they've got to go there. Think about it this way. They have to go there and survive for 2 hours in that environment. And there's no question about it that under that constant harangue, under that constant level of harassment, that a lot of these guys, just being human beings, they cave. And again, that is exactly what Danny Ainge saw and talked about that night that he went there to scout again, I believe, Lou Aldang. And it has never changed. In fact, it's gotten worse. Again, it has gotten to the point where, I'm telling you, I had never seen that before. I have seen Billis do these games. I have never seen him, nor have I ever heard that tone of embarrassment in his voice upon watching the officiating and the calls that he knew were going in his university's favor. He knew it. He knew it. And you could hear it in his voice. And as I said, I have never heard that out of him before. As just proof of it, just go back the last 30 seconds. What? Forget going back the 10 minutes and finding all those blown calls. There are a myriad of them if you do. But just go the last 30 seconds and pick it up with Zion Williamson being set to the line with whatever that was, 28 seconds left, whatever it was. Pick it up there. Listen to what he said. Listen to what Billis said and how he said it. Because at first he was actually trying to say, oh, well, you know, I think that's a foul. And then when he watched the replay, he could clearly see that it wasn't a foul. And then you could hear the embarrassed nature of his tone. It wasn't personal embarrassment upon initially judging the call wrong. No. It was 100% clear. He was embarrassed that the officials had made that call. And with good reason, because he had watched 10 minutes of hideous officiating in favor of Duke. Inarguable. Let me tell you about Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Lakeside Lodge Clemson is a new condo hotel under construction on Lake Hartwell. Pricing starts in the mid-200s. Financing's available. It's located on Highway 123 right across the lake from Clemson. This is basically your, you know, to use our football analogy, this is basically your two-minute warning. I mean, I don't know exactly how many units are left. I know that the project started with 118. And now you're down to, I'm just guessing, 40, maybe. Because we were past the halfway point some time ago. So your opportunities are disappearing. This is one of those situations you must act if you want in. These are the biggest names in Clemson. Bostic Brothers, Taj Boyd, Leighton Cubbage, Steve Mudge. I mean, these are the guys behind this project. The reserve will include restaurant, lobby bar with food service, pool and hot tub, walking baths, fire pit, meeting space, fitness facilities, small-scale football field for families to enjoy, expansive outdoor area for tailgating on game days, modified hotel services. You can rent part of your unit when you aren't using it. Go see Taj Boyd, 906 Tiger Boulevard in Clemson. He's leading the Lakeside Lodge Clemson sales effort. I'll be back.
Home plate in the Priority One Security Studios. We are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville, 105.5, The Roar.
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Taj Boyd with an update on